Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The U.S. Open gets underway tomorrow morning. I think right around 5 o'clock Pacific, you can see some of the groups that go off. Joining us now from the Action Network, you can find him actionnetwork.com, or you can follow him on Twitter. Jason Sobel joins us at Jason Sobel. T-A-N. Jason, thanks for taking a couple minutes for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Can't wait for this week to finally get started. It's going to be a fun week here at Shinnecock.
Now, the last time we saw the U.S. Open there, to say that the course played hard is an understatement. Number seven was basically deemed unplayable. They were watering the green in between, you know, golfers coming through. How is the course set up, and is it going to be blood and carnage, or are we going to see something, maybe a kinder, gentler Shinnecock Hills?
I won't say that it's set up easy, because it's not, but I'm not so sure that this is the USGA setup that everyone wants to see. I mean, we enjoy watching a tough test of golf. We collectively assume that the U.S. Open will be the hardest golf tournament of the year, and even par something right around there will win the golf tournament. I don't know that that's going to happen this year. The fairways are in some places twice as wide as they were in 2004 when the tournament was held here. The green complexes are still tough, but players hit it so much further now than they did even just 14 years ago that I think some good scores are going to be had. And I've had some players suggest to me that even double digits under par could win this golf tournament.
Does the USGA want to see that?
I think the USGA is playing scared right now. I think the USGA is being a little too cautious. They've had some train wrecks over the last few years, going back to 2004, quite frankly, where Executive Director Mike Davis called that a double bogey recently and said they want to make amends for it. 3 years ago, they went to Chambers Bay. Didn't quite work out the way they wanted to. It wasn't quite ready for a major championship. Last year at Erin Hills, the winning score was 16 under par. It was a great PGA championship if you're into that. I love the PGA Championship. I just don't love it during U.S. Open week, and that's kind of what it turned into. And I think the USGA right now is sort of scared of the criticism from players, the criticism from fans. They don't want to embarrass the players anymore out of fear of I don't know what. Maybe the players stop going to the year's second major championship, although I'm not sure that would actually ever happen. But they are very fearful and cautious of the criticism. And so I think they've scaled back. And this golf course now is not as tough as it could possibly be. And that's why I think we're going to see some good scores.
Well, and does that have something to do with the pairings? I know traditionally the U.S. Open, you know, has said that, you know, you watch because of the U.S. Open, but you look at some of these pairings on the first 2 days, and apparently someone at the USGA wants people to put their eyeballs on it because there are some really interesting groups.
Well, and that's sort of been the in thing to do over the last couple of years. PGA Tour with their live streaming feeds wants to get people watching these featured groups, and the USGA has sort of followed suit and tried to get all the big names together. It's almost a game of can you top this with all the officials trying to figure out the absolute best fairings and what's going to get the biggest names playing together. So, yeah, we've got Tiger Woods playing with Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson, the top two ranked players in the world. We've got Jordan Spieth with Phil Mickelson and Rory McIlroy. They've kind of bunched them together. But, yes, there are some very specific reasons for that, and that is because there is so much online traffic to be had with the live streaming feeds that can follow those groups individually that they want to capitalize on it.
We're talking to Jason Sobel of the Action Network. You can find him on Twitter at Jason Sobel, T-A-N. You mentioned that, you know, maybe someone would be able to take this, you know, possibly double digits. And the way this course is set up, everything I've been reading is it's favoring the bombers right now. And you just mentioned the top two players in the world. sitting there with Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. You know, is this set up for these two guys to, you know, to be there maybe as the final pairing when we go into Sunday?
I think that's probably looking a little too far ahead, but yeah, I do like both of them a lot. In fact, Justin Thomas is the guy who wound up atop my ranking when I ranked the entire 156-man field on ActionNetwork.com, and I think his game is ready for this. Ever since winning the PGA Championship last August, he's finished outside the top 25 just once, so he's very consistent. Contends an awful lot of golf tournaments. I think he's going to be a good U.S. Open player for a long time. And like you said, this is going to set up for the big hitters. I truly believe that guys like Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson are going to be able to have wedges into some of these greens, or at least eight irons into some of the greens, whereas shorter hitters may hit a few more fairways, but they're going to struggle to hit many of these greens with longer clubs going in. I think it's going to play a big factor.
Well, I saw today on your website, in fact, that we have not had a favorite win the U.S. Open in 10 years since Tiger limped around at Torrey Pines. So Dustin Johnson being the favorite, we can just eliminate him from contention, right?
Right, and I'll give you another reason. No player has ever won on the PGA Tour the week before the U.S. Open and then gone on to win the U.S. Open.
He's done.
So, he's got a couple of strikes against him this week, even though he is the top player in the world.
When you look at Dustin Johnson and just kind of what an absolute freak athlete he is, you know, and obviously, I mean, it's not that he hasn't been successful, but maybe not the success of other people. Is he one of those guys that you look at as talented he is? Believe it or not, has he underperformed with the level of talent
no.
he has?
No, no way. I can't say that. He's won 18 times on the PGA Tour. If Dustin Johnson never wins again, I still think he goes into the World Golf Hall of Fame someday. Others with less credentials than him have gotten into the hall. So, no, I think he's been remarkably consistent. I mean, we think of Dustin Johnson being an aggressive player and a guy who goes through hot streaks and cold streaks. That's the tendency of these big hitters to sort of have peaks and valleys, and yet he's won in every single season he's been a PGA Tour professional. That's pretty remarkable going back to his rookie season. So, no, I don't think he's underachieved. He's a guy that maybe hasn't necessarily played his best golf at the major championships. But again, he's 33 years old. He's still got plenty of time if he's going to clip off a few more of these. And quite frankly, the fields are so deep right now that you really can't name a player who is peeling off a bunch of major championships. I mean, Jordan Spieth has three of them in the last 3.5 years. Rory McIlroy has four, but hasn't won one in a while. There really isn't anybody out there. It's almost like a turnstile at the deli. Everyone takes a ticket and grabs their trophy and walks through the turnstile, and the next guy comes up and gets his the next time.
Yeah, it's like everyone in the NBA, right, chases Michael Six. It's like such an unrealistic expectation, and now, you know, it's like the Tiger factor. Right, if you're not reeling off 10 of these in an 8 or 9 year period, then you get that label of, well, you were supposed to be the next Tiger Woods and you're not.
Nobody is going to be the next Tiger Woods, and if we're still searching for that, we need to look elsewhere. Quite frankly, the next Tiger Woods is Dustin Johnson, and it's Justin Thomas, and it's Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler. It's all of these guys collectively put together. That's what the next Tiger Woods is. It's this entire generation of younger players who are going to be really good for a really long time and add up major championships together. But no one is going to reach 14. No one's going to break Jack Nicklaus's record of 18. It's just not going to happen with the fields being as deep as they are these days.
Is it the deepest field that you can remember since you've been covering the sport?
I think so. You know, maybe not this tournament specifically, just because the open nature, the democratic nature of a U.S. Open has so many qualifiers. This week we have 78 players who are here on an exemption and 78 players who actually qualified through a sectional. So it's dead split even. So you don't get as good a field as you do at, say, the Players' Championship a few weeks ago, or even the PGA Championship in 2 months. So it's not the greatest field this week, but as far as overall the depths of fields in general on the PGA Tour, yeah, absolutely. The younger guys keep getting better and better. These are guys who are learning to win. They're basically mini tour pros when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, traveling the country, traveling the world, playing in big-time junior golf tournaments, that they're basically coming out of college, coming out of junior golf, ready to go to the PGA Tour and ready to win on the PGA Tour.
We're talking to Jason Sobel, senior golf writer, the Action Network. You can find him at theactionnetwork.com. Does Tiger play a role in this? And you look into your crystal ball. Is he sniffing around here on Sunday?
I don't know that he's necessarily sniffing around the lead, but I don't think he's going to be slamming the trunk on Friday afternoon either. I see it as just another step forward in the process for Tiger. I have him in my ranking 18th this week, which I think would be a very fair finish. I don't know that anyone would look at Tiger finishing somewhere in the top 20 and say, oh, man, he really should have done a lot better. We've seen all aspects of his game be very good at any certain point. He's driven it well at times. He's had tremendous ball striking rounds at times. He's shown great wedge work. He is really putted well at times, although 2 weeks ago in his last start at the Memorial Tournament, he looked terrible with the flat stick in his hand. But he's done everything well at different events, but he hasn't put it all together yet. And I just don't believe that 5 years after his last victory, he's ready to go to your U.S. Open and make that his next one. I just think that there's got to be something else as a buffer in between. He's got to learn how to win again, and maybe that comes at a Quicken Loans National, at a Northern Trust, at a tournament like that where he can go out and win against maybe not a great field, and at least get that feeling back before going to win a major again.
Okay, I know I got to cut you loose here, but give me the quick Sobel power rankings of who you like in this thing, and then maybe a sleeper, maybe a dark horse.
I like Justin Thomas, as I mentioned before. He's my guy to win this week. I think he's ready to go out and win a second major championship. Jason Day, I really like this week as well. And if I can keep going chalk, guys that weren't necessarily as high on my ranking, but as the week is wearing on, Jordan Spieth seemed very confident to me. Ricky Fowler seems like he's really got his head on straight this week. He just got engaged at the beginning of the week here on Long Island, so I think he's got some good vibes going. As far as the long shot, I'm going to give you a couple of them real quick. Tommy Fleetwood, a guy maybe some American fans don't know much about, but ranked 12th in the world. Mark Leishman, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, all guys I expect to be on the leaderboard.
Jason, thanks for taking a couple moments for us. You can find him on actionnetwork.com or follow him on Twitter, Jason Sobel, TAN. Thank you so much, Jason.
You guys, thanks. Enjoy the tournament.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.